Hi, this is Jeff Saldenstein, and in today's interview, I've got my good friend John Yandell on the call at tennisplayer.net. Some of you who have been following my website for some time and you own some of my other products, you know that I bring John on to do interviews where we talk about various strokes that we need to talk about. And John has probably watched more video footage than any tennis aficionado on the planet. So I usually look to him when I want to get another opinion about what's really happening in the game of tennis and the game of pro tennis. John also has a lot of experience with recreational players and junior players as well. So welcome to the call, John.
Thank you, Jeff.
Great to have you back again. And today is going to be a short and sweet interview all about the buggy whip, or in other words, the reverse forehand, a very unique shot that has come more to the forefront probably in the last decade or so. But why don't you go ahead and start it out and tell us when you started noticing this particular follow-through that is different than the more conventional over-the-shoulder or swing across, finish across by the shoulder type of finish from the forehand side.
Well, I'll tell you, the first time I ever noticed it was watching Robert Lansdorff train Maria Sharapova when she was 11 years old. And he was actually consciously teaching her how to finish on her right side, something that he himself had developed by studying his student, Pete Sampras. And Robert claims, and it's probably true, that Maria never would have won Wimbledon that first time on grass against Serena if she hadn't been able to hit all those reverse forehands to deflect Serena Williams's rocket ground stroke.
That's, I actually had Michael Joyce on a call before a couple weeks ago when we recorded it, and we did talk about Robert. And you might have actually told me this tale that Robert was working out Pete Sampras one day and gave him a wide forehand, and all of a sudden Pete flipped it over the same side, on his dominant side, and Robert kind of probably gruffly said, "What the heck are you doing?" or maybe said some more choice words. And Pete was like, "Hey, I just did it and it worked and I'll try it again." And next year, you know, the reverse forehand was born in the way that Robert Lansdorff started to teach it. Is that something that you've heard before or is consistent?
I've heard Robert Lansdorff tell that exact story, yes.
Right. So you're absolutely right. I mean, Maria Sharapova probably would not have won Wimbledon. Her forehand is not her best side, the best shot. And the fact that the ball is hitting through on the grass, she's late on it, and, you know, she's able to pull off that ball and use the reverse. You know, talk a little bit about, since you're a bit of a technical wizard with all the video that you've studied over the years, do you feel like for all levels, junior, recreational, even pro, that's a big reason why players need to use the buggy whip at times, because they're late and they're rushed and they're under stress?
Yes, I do. And in fact, I think that's the main reason to use it. And we have to distinguish from that use of it from someone like Nadal, who definitely has got a finish on the same side, but is doing other things as well in the forward swing. But, you know, the point that you know, Jeff, is that turning the hand over in various ways, you know, is the key to a lot of things, varying your spins, your placements, your arcs. And the reverse forehand is one dimension in really having control of your forward swing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so, you know, it gets a little bit confusing for some recreational players out there that see this buggy whipping Nadal guy, and a lot of coaches say, "Hey, you know, don't do it," and other coaches say, "Do it," and then you see Sharapova, you know, doing it, and she had shoulder issues. you know, one of the things that I teach is not to copy Sharapova's style. I feel like she pulls off the ball too fast, and to try to make sure players learn how to extend first. Would that be, you know, if you were working with a rec player or a junior player or educating them on what's really happening with the video, that they really need to take a look at the extension aspect and understanding that, whether they go over the shoulder or whether they end up using the reverse on some shots?
Right. I agree. And if you look at Nadal, he gets tremendous forward extension on his so-called reverse forehand. He's accelerating upward so violently that he's doing a windshield wiper plus a reverse, so that, you know, the racket head's turning over like a windshield wiper, but that it's moving so rapidly upward that it goes up over his head and then back over on his other side. So there's definitely different versions of it. And so far as incorporating the reverse as, you know, your basic forehand because you think you're Rafael Nadal, that's probably not a good idea. Because
yeah.
You won't end up with his extension. You're not swinging as fast and as radically upward as he is. So, you know, nonetheless, there's no doubt, let's say, you know, you're pulled wide on a return, or, you know, you're trying to go down the line from a wide spot, knowing how to come up short and fast and stay on the same side allows you to make certain shots and to hit spin in certain situations where you may not be able to extend through the ball.
Sure. And so, you know, what I'm trying to distinguish with this course is that, hey, you may use the buggy whip 2 times in a match if you're stressed out. You may use it 30 times. It's obviously depending on style. I certainly don't want players to start relying on it all the time. But, you know, if you were educating a rec player on how to start to consciously use this, maybe in small doses, you know, how would you talk to them or educate them so they really understand the proper use of when to use it consciously instead of just kind of randomly throwing the racket up, to actually maybe practice it so that if they're playing in a league match, they feel like, as you just described, they can bring the racket up on the same side of their body and hit a great return or a great running forehand and actually know that they did it on purpose instead of by accident.
Right. It's you know, it's a matter of feeling. As a tennis player, you know, you know when you're short on time, you know when you're under pressure, you know when you're dealing with penetration from the other person's shot, you know where you're trying to go with the ball, and by, you know, radically increasing the upward swing leading to the reverse forehand, you're able to escape from situations where, you know, maybe the ball did get a little behind you, you know, where you're wide and you want to try to bend it back into the court. You know, these are things that the use of the technique has to be tied to the right strategic situation and the feeling of the player for what he can do with the racket.
Mm-hmm. So we've got Pete Sampras who had an Eastern grip and had arguably one of the best running forehands of all time using the buggy whip. We've got Rafa Nadal, who has probably characterized as an extreme semi-Western grip, and he uses it on his conventional cross-court forehand. And then you got a guy on that's kind of new on the scene, Alexander Dolgopolov, who uses it quite a lot as a righty. Where do you see this reverse or buggy whip forehand evolving in the future? I can think of Davenport and Capriati using it on a lot of their cross-court forehand 10 years ago. Where do you see this going with the pros? Do you think we're going to be seeing the reverse more and more because a guy like Nadal has won 13 Grand Slams and a lot of kids growing up are seeing it, so they're using more and more? Or do you think it might be a cycle where, hey, you know, Federer and Djokovic use it, but certainly not like Nadal, where it'll just be a stroke that's there in emergency situations? Or do you think we will see it as more of a conventional shot going forward like Nadal uses it?
Well, I think you'll see players trying it, whether they'll ever get on TV doing it. I mean, you know, we had Borg in the late 70s and early 80s, and now, you know, well, 35 years later, we've got, or 30 years later, we've got Nadal. It's a rare player in the pro game who can rise to the top with a style that is so balanced towards defense. Not that Nadal isn't incredibly aggressive as well at times, but, you know, let's face it, you know, it's pretty discouraging, or it must be pretty discouraging to feel like there's a guy 12 feet behind the baseline that you simply cannot get the ball past and who never misses. So for someone to take that extreme grip, to hit that level of spin from that far back in the court, leading to the reverse finishes, who knows? You know, but it won't be because, per se, the shot is somehow better. It will be because some player has found out how to incorporate it into a particular style. But, you know, having said that, later in his career, as spin in the game increases, you saw Sampras, who didn't really have a wiper finish, using it on his approach shots, you know, using it when he needed more topspin. But again, I think it's situational to the players. I think anybody that set out to say, you know, I'm going to develop the buggy whip forehand as my basic drive, you know, that person is headed for an arm transplant probably.
Yeah, well, I can speak from personal experience that, excuse me, when I first encountered this consciously with Joseph O'Dwyer, we also interviewed, you know, I knew that I was doing the buggy whip when I was 12 years old, when I was 18 years old. I wasn't consciously doing it, but when I was 28, I started working on it. For me as a lefty, and even if I lost confidence in my forehand, I started using the buggy whip more and more in those situations. I believe the same thing happened with Pete Sampras later in his career. I think he actually either and or lost confidence in his forehand, his regular one, started buggy whipping a lot more on all the shots, all those shots. Or maybe he felt like the speed of the game was getting faster and he felt more rushed and he needed to use it more. So I think for rec players and junior players out there, it can be a bit of a default if you lose a little bit of confidence. But certainly, if that's the case, you should still go back to the drawing board and make sure that your fundamental forehand is on target and not start relying on that buggy whip all the time. What do you think about that?
No, I would totally agree with that. And yet, if you do have those sound fundamentals, it's a dimension you can add. And if you really understand what happens in the foreswing and, you know, what the factors are in the foreswing, you know, then you can vary it, you know, with that finish to get the desired result. But, you know, again, you know, it's like pro football. When the Patriots win, offense beats defense. When the Steelers win, defense beats offense. You know, it's not so much about the technique per se, it's about the athletes that are using it.
Good stuff, John. As always, I know you've got to get going to your next task or whatever you're doing to dominate the online world with your videos. Tell the listeners where they can find out about you, how they can subscribe to your amazing website, which I fully endorse.
1 month free for anyone right now. Go to tennisplayer.net and click the subscribe button. And if you're not having fun in the first 30 days, just cancel it and you won't be charged.
Good stuff. That's at tennisplayer.net. This John Yandell is the guy, one of the guys that opened it all up for me, helped me understand technique by studying slow motion video that I could apply to my own game. Definitely anyone listening to this should check out his site and sign up for those 30 days. All right, John, thanks a lot for your time as always, and I'm sure we'll see you at another interview down the road.
All right, Jeff, keep it going.
Talk to you later.
Okay, man.